All right. Everybody doing okay? Had a fantastic week this week. I know a lot of y'all were out of town Sunday. I was too. Me and Lindsay were out of town. We were in Morningstar at an MFM retreat, which is a Morningstar Fellowship of Ministries. I was able to get to know some people that I knew but didn't know well. And so it was just a great time reconnecting and just seeing everybody. But, you know, the Lord connected us with Mark and his wife, Charlotte. Charlotte, you want to wave? That's Charlotte, and this is Mark. Mark, come on up here. Mark, they live in Wilmington. I had met them earlier in the year, but hadn't really got to know them. But we got to spend some good time together this week, and I wanted to ask Mark to come. But we were just talking, and it's just I could feel this guy's carrying something from the Lord. And the first time I met him, I looked at him, and the Lord immediately showed me that he had gifts of healing. And come to find out, that's really his heart. He's really got a heart for healing, and he bore witness with that. And so the Lord's put a lot in Mark, and I just wanted to give him an opportunity to release some of that on us. So let's just pray for him real quick. Lord, thank you for these guys. Lord, thank you for their lives. Lord, we just ask for just a great release now by your Holy Spirit to hear what you're saying through Mark. And everything that you've put in him to give to us today, open our ears to hear right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. You know, you get invited to do this and you get nervous and you start thinking, you know, what am I going to say? 9 million things go through your head. You're like, okay, I'm trying to hear the Spirit. And he said, testimony. We overcome, Revelations 12, we overcome by obviously the blood of the Lamb and the power of the testimony. And it says of your testimony. And your testimony is a living word because it says that's the prophecy of Christ. So this morning, what I want to release, I think, is more of a prophetic word over you because the Lord promised me through this experience that when I released it, since he's a respecter of no man, that he would impart this new infilling, this new baptism of fire that I think is new to the body this year. Even though we're building the 21st century church, Pentecost will always be Pentecost. It will always be when the Spirit fell in a certain way. I was just showing him, you talk about the Holy Spirit touching and us being in communication when we don't even talk. We haven't talked a single thing about what I was going to preach. And my second thing after new creations is the keys to the kingdom. When you're saved, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says you become a new creation. Therefore, there's nothing else that walks the earth that's like you. Adam is not like you. You're superior. You're better. You're in a place to where God can take you because he made you a clean vessel. He's forgiven your sins. He's removed your iniquities. And he's given you this awesome power that's called repentance. The Holy Spirit was showing me through this experience I had April 9th, exactly 60 days ago. And the number 9 has been just so pervasive. And here it is the 9th. Here it is Pentecost. Here, Travis and I and Lindsay, we meet, and he says, you know, I think you need to preach. I'm like, I was so stunned I didn't answer. In fact, a friend of mine answered for me. and she's a real good friend, so I figured I should. And, you know, the knitting together that the Holy Spirit does in our lives that's unseen. It's like, you know, I stand up here 300-some pounds, but there's a really fit 225-pound guy in here. You know, there's a Holy Spirit here. There's the right temple. There's a right living. There's a right word. There's a right way to be in relationship with him. And that's what I want to talk about today. Not as much doctrinally as I want to talk about relationally. And this is my testimony. April 8th, I wrote in my journal, God, I'm done. I failed every way you can possibly fail. I have been in despair and depression since last July. A true walking Christian, a new creation cannot be that. That is impossible. So, Lord, I don't know what I've done. And I was just just so down about everything. It has just been such a journey. And the Lord says, I've afforded you an opportunity. He said, I've been taking you through the dark night of the soul. And he says, it's a place of transformation. It's a place of quickening. It's a place of relationship with my spirit. Because your soul as a man cannot have a relationship with my spirit. Number one, it's not holy. During this whole time, he never called himself the Holy Spirit. He called himself the promise and the blessing. So I want you to hear that today. That the promise and the blessing, the author and the finisher, this is God's promise to you that I'm sending you the Spirit. Jesus said, I must go so he can come. And so you can do greater works than I did. And the greater works is really moving further in sonship than he had been on the earth. Because the Holy Spirit does nothing that the Lord, that the Father doesn't say, and he doesn't do anything that the blood did not pay for. Those are his commands all the time. That's how he lives in us. He's either reproving, reproducing, or he's coming in an outflow. But the vertical relationship to get with the Spirit is the blessing. You know, I believe it was, you know, it says in Abrahamic covenant where the censer of fire went through the animals in a figure eight. Well, who was holding that? I just have to think that's Holy Spirit that was making that covenant with the Father. It's God making a covenant with God so man could not intervene or ever break it. And I think it, the figure eight infinity. So as I'm pondering my just worthlessness in Christ, and I had been through days I couldn't get up till 11 o'clock. I was praying myself out of bed. I'd go 3 days, just lay on the floor, not bathe, not eat anything. And all of a sudden he says, yes, I've offered you this opportunity. I'm like, well, I'm not sure I heard that right, Lord. How can this be an opportunity? I feel so distant from you. I don't feel like I know anything. You know, I'm just there. And he said, when I went to bed, he said, read Job 41 and 42. So I read that, kind of dozed off to sleep, woke up the next morning, still feeling this heaviness. I've been struggling with my health a little bit, weight. And so I get up in the morning and he says, go take your blood pressure. And I'm like, I have this little blood pressure machine. I'd rather have a guillotine. I'd rather cut my finger off than take that. And he goes, because he knows it. He's like, take your blood pressure. So I took it. And of course, it's high. Right? Even though on medication, it's high. It's like 187 over 95. And then he says, there's a book you got right there that you haven't read. Well, I was at Morningstar a couple of weeks earlier. God gave me this book about healing from Charles Capps. And I'm not pushing the book. And this is just part of the testimony of how I get to the keys. So bear with me, please. So I sit down and I start to read it. And it speaks about Romans 4:17, call things that are not as they are. It speaks about binding and loosing. Speaks about specifically, I like the same one he preached, Matthew 16, not the Matthew 18:18, but I love the Matthew 16 in the context. And then the one that I've been tied to all along, which is undergirded by Mark 11:22 through 24, which basically says you got to believe to receive. If you have enough faith, you can cast that mountain into the sea. So I start to read, and it's got about 20 little declarations that you say. So I went through all of them. I set the little book down, and all of a sudden, I could feel. And, you know, for those of you that have walked for a while, you can tell the difference between when the Lord enters the room and when the power of God, the Holy Spirit entered the room, and it felt like he walked over to me. This is what I kept seeing, and picked, and I could see this city bus and picked this bus off and just tossed it out of my house. And, I mean, it was so, I literally thought I grabbed a chair because I thought I was going to float out. And then I just burst out in this holy laughter. Running, my wife is at home. I'm running around the house. I'm screaming. I'm praising. I'm crying. I'm laughing. All of it. And then all of a sudden it hit me. Oh, my gosh, what did I do? How did I do that? What did I do? And I'm like, okay, it must have been the repentance. Because that morning before I got out of bed, literally all I could utter was the word Jesus. And I was like, and I remember repenting of things like, I'm just a false prophet. I'm a false teacher. And all this stuff starts coming up. Not the usual stuff you think you repent about, but stuff that would almost go back to where I was doing some identificational repentance for Adam. Some things that were just, you know, way back, but it's just pouring out and pouring out. And I hear the Spirit say, there's nothing that you did or didn't do. He said, today, April, I want you to get, this is where it's really encouraging for you. He said, this day, April 9th, 2019, was written in your scroll for me to come to you in the way that I just came to you. So you hear what I'm saying to you? The Holy Spirit is in charge. He is brooding over you as he brooded over creation. He is forming in you the perfect vessel, in addition with your flavor, to come through, to really glorify the name of Jesus, to really glorify Abba, Father. You know, God set himself as Father. He set the Son as the epitome of our model and our relationship. And the Holy Spirit says, that's me. I do all of that. And take this in the context of a minute. He came to me and said, I am everything. I literally am everything. I'm the one that created everything. I'm the one that watches over everything. And until Christ comes back, I am the same power that he had. And he said, my goal with you is to have the same relationship with you that I had with Jesus, the Son of Man. Now, I want you to think about the power in that statement. But that's the truth. The relationship that the Holy Spirit had with Christ Jesus, ordained by the Father, sent, the promise, is the same one that you walk with. But you say, well, every time I lay hands, people don't get healed, or this and that, and but, and if, and. Well, there's a fullness to the Holy Spirit. There's a place of unity. You hear the Bible say in Ephesians, it's unity through diversity. Well, each one of you are a perfect, diverse creation made by God, and with the unity, the glue of the Holy Spirit make up the body, right? But the unity that's being looked for is not unity among men, it's unity among the Spirit, because the Spirit is the one that does the will of God. And so the desires of your heart, the unity, the only way that the angels move, they move on the Word of God. The only thing the Spirit can do is to fulfill the Word of God. It is constantly creating. It's constantly recreating. So there's a place that we get to where we share God's heart. And this is what the Spirit can do. The Spirit can renew your mind. It can weed out the worldliness. It can take the four soils that are preached about in Mark and Matthew, and you know, he can till up the hard ground. He can go beneath and bust all the rocks and impediments from your roots growing deep. He can take the cares of the world away and make this good soil to plant in. Because anything planted by the Holy Spirit, what does it produce? Because did the Holy Spirit not plant Christ? Is it not saying the word that the Holy Spirit is actually the Father? He impregnated Mary. So the holiness of God, the Spirit of holiness of the Lord, is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you start putting these things together, you start realizing, and I started reading, and it's just everything points to Jesus, and Jesus points to the Spirit. When you start looking at Romans 8, it's mentioned 17 times. But really, as you go into John 14, 15, 16, and 17, you start to see how much Christ talks about the importance and the power of the Spirit. It's almost like he sits himself in the back seat and says, this is what's going to happen. This is who is coming. You're going to do greater works. All those just desires of your heart, all those wonderful things that we look at and that sometimes make us feel devalued and worthless because we can't achieve them. And the point is what he told me that day, you're not going to achieve them. Because we end up striving for the wrong thing. He said, the only thing that you need to seek is relationship with me. Because we are in the era of the Holy Spirit. We are in the era of the power of God. I believe this year especially, God is looking. Specifically, I say the Holy Spirit is looking to become your best friend, and for you to become his best friend. And you think, oh, well, how do you do that? Because that was the thing I got up. You know, he kept telling me, so I'm like, well, I don't know how to do that. And he goes, don't worry, I do. And every time I kept saying, no, he goes, no, I do. And so, you know, Rick Jordan, I've had this little thing about, because that, you know, he says, well, the Holy Spirit says he's the helper. Well, let me tell you something, he's the doer. He helps you become the doer, but he's the doer. All the dunamis power. Think about it. Did Christ do anything without the Holy Spirit? I mean, at one time, he gets baptized in John, the repentance. That shows you how powerful and strong and how much that is needed, right? And then he comes up. The Father speaks down and prophesies over him. This is my son. So he shows him his identity, who I am well pleased with, sets a heart set in motion for him. And then the Spirit comes upon him, and boom, he goes out in the desert to whip the devil. I mean, is that not our path? So when you think about this Holy Spirit and how to truly get this relationship started, it's repentance. There's two words in Greek for repentance. One of them is temporal repentance. God, you know, Lord, I'm sorry I cursed. I'm sorry I got angry at my sister. But he's talking about a deeper repentance, a repentance that really means to change your ways, which is why I love where it speaks in the binding and the loosing in Matthew 16. It speaks to that in the context in the verses before. It talks about that powerful repentance. It's talking about switching allegiance. And the way the Lord showed me was, he said, the Holy Spirit is your operating system. Like if you have a Mac or a PC, you can't turn it on without an operating system. And he said, I need to switch you from one operating system to the other. And he happened to use Mac because I think Mac's got the bitten apple. And the PC, which I think is personal computer. I need you to switch you to your personal comforter, your personal advocate, your personal paracletos, the one that does everything for you, that holds every position of everything the cross bought and everything the Father ever said. Because not only did he create creation, he created you. He spoke over you. So these keys that are highly evident here today, which is, I think, what the Lord is offering here today, these keys are to this. These keys are, whatever's already been bound has been bound, what's been loosed has been loosed. Christ did it all. We just need to become in agreement. We need to become in agreement with the Spirit of these words. Not if just you and I sit in the room, Lindsay, and we agree that this man over here is going to get healed. Mm-mm. We can start to sense what the Holy Spirit is doing and moving when he wants someone healed or he comes in encouragement. One of the greatest things he told me in this episode was, look, you need to hear me coming in my desires, not yours. You know, we all want to see everyone healed. We all want to see everyone come to Christ. But the truth of the matter is, no one comes until the Father draws. There's these spiritual principles that are in place that only through the Spirit can he really align them with you, which puts you in agreement in a now and a time with God who is not in time. So think about it. It really takes you out of time and puts you in the will of God to let you move forward. And then Romans 4:17, call things that are not as they are. It says, man perish with no vision. So think about your life. Think about how the Holy Spirit is trying to come into you. He's saying, look, we need to speak. We need to co-create. That leads me to my next experience was this place that we have of co-creation. The ultimate goal was to restore relationship. But you know where it always says in Scripture, where all creation groans for the sons of God? Well, think, creation is praying just as we're praying. It is waiting for us to take the place. And you say this, and I don't say this loftily, but to take the place of who? Take the place of Christ in the world. He left but sent the Spirit. So instead of there being one, there can be 7 billion. And there doesn't even have to be that many. This room of people right here today can take these keys and can change Wilmington tomorrow. They can bring a purity. They can bring a love. But most of all, they can bring a power of agreement with the power that broods over everything. You know, when Jesus said, hey guys, I got to go, but I want you to go sit in that room. I love the scripture says in several different places, they said in one accord, they went and waited 10 days. Jesus gave them one thing. He said, you need to wait for what's coming. They waited. They were in one accord. They were in unity. They were in a place that they were positioned to receive the one thing they knew they would need. And I'm convinced that the way the scripture is written, where it says the tongues appeared as fire. Most people get it wrong. They think that, well, the fire appeared as tongues. But I think the tongues is in that sentence. Not only did Peter and all of them speak in tongues, but I think it's because the tongue, the power of death and life is in the tongue. Our words of co-creation or tearing down strongholds is one of these keys that obviously put on Pastor's heart today and put on my heart to bring to you guys. The keys are being offered. You have a set of keys that are unique to you, because with the keys come an assignment, come strongholds. But also the main thing I want you to think about is a creation of your life. He is more interested in being intimate with you and restoring relationship with you and building you across as vertical and horizontal. If you do not have the vertical intimacy that you need, your horizontal outflow will not be what it is. That's why today we're still encountering issues that the cross had paid for. But it's not supposed to be that way, right? When we pray for someone's healing and we lay hands, as the Bible said, we're supposed to see the manifestation, the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, what are you doing? You're creating healing. You're creating prosperity. You're creating something where there is dis-ease. So the brooding of the Holy Spirit with you, having relationship with you, is the main thing that moves this world forward, because that's the paradigm that God put forward. But people think that's too lofty to think about. Oh, my gosh, you can't compare yourself to Jesus. Well, why? Jesus compared himself to you. Right? I mean, he gave everything he had for you. You know, we look at it wrong. He came to die for us. Well, that's because he just simply wanted us, loved us, cherished us. But also, aside from that, God chose us to do this job. And chose how that we could have the power to do this job. And the power is to live in this fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I think that the repentance, the words you speak, and I'm not giving you a structure here today. Maybe I'm not saying that you can go home and go 1, 2, 3, alakazam, alakazoo. It doesn't work that way. Relationship, but it works on spiritual principles. In the Bible it says, you know, if you do this, then this comes. There are those places in the Bible, and those places always start from the heart of God. We can do nothing separate. When it said that Jesus did nothing that his Father didn't do, or didn't say anything that his Father didn't say, you know, people think, well, he had this open vision and the Father's looking down, giving notes. Well, I believe it was the Holy Spirit already had that. The Holy Spirit, think about this, the Spirit of holiness is the Spirit of Father God. It's a separate person in the Trinity, but that's what it is. Have you thought about that? It's the Spirit of God. So whatever the Father knows or has ever said is in that Spirit that's transferred into us. So when Jesus told the disciples, well, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because he had the Holy Spirit in him. There's the basis of God is God's holiness. That's where his faithfulness comes from. That's the paradigm. That's the whole rock that this whole relationship of creation is set on. And that's living in you. And sometimes just to become aware that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to get doctrinal and say that there's one baptism or two. I know that's, but I will tell you this. I will tell you that there are levels of fullness and there are times that he'll come to you. And he knows when to do it. He is watching your heart. He is reading your walk. He is so much more with you. So like I said, just because we can't see it doesn't mean that he is not alive and well, and that the dunamis power does not have you. Just because you pray for someone and doesn't get healed doesn't mean that all these other things are not true. Because the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, look, when he comes, he's going to lead you in all truths. Right? Well, this is the truth. The truth of the word is you have the word in you. You can perform this word. It is supposed to be secondary nature to us, first nature to our new creation. So this operating system I'm telling you about, learning how to switch over and move in the move supernaturally more than you move naturally, I think has been a problem that our minds perceive. So I'm just going to say this. You should just move as the Holy Spirit prompts you to move. Like you said, be so sensitive. When I'm coming, you can hear how I'm coming. I thought about, wow. In other words, when Adam was in the garden, they could hear the Father approaching. Well, they hid. You know, we're fully clothed in light and fully clothed in truth. So it's like two long lovers every time God comes running towards each other. And he says, you can hear the way I'm coming. We always think about, well, what do we got to do? I'm standing out on the street. And I know that there's this person in front of me that needs to be healed. Yes, but it may be that there's something else that the God desires first. You may be the one that plants the seed, or you may water it, or you actually may be the one that lays hands on it and heals. The thing is to hear. That's where the fullness comes from. We have to hear what the Holy Spirit's desire is, because he can only fulfill the desires of God and what the cross bought. So when you walk in agreement and unity with that, which is what Jesus did, which is what happened to Peter and all the disciples after these tongues of fire came on. You know, the first thing he does is speak. And 3,000 are added to the kingdom. But if you go back and look at that speech, it's not what you think it would be. It says, you know, when you go out and you preach the gospel, move them, then signs, miracles, and wonders will follow. He was preaching whatever the unction of that Holy Spirit had put in him, because he had just gotten baptized in fire. And this is the way, through my experience, that the Holy Spirit talked to me about the baptism of fire. He said, it's not something that rests on you all the time. He said, it's not a condition, or it's not a outflow of anything but belief. That goes back to this undergirding in Mark 11, 22 through 24. Belief, I think, is faith and trust together. When you think about the Son and the Father, you know, the Son says, well, I have to go to be glorified. Well, he sent this, you know, he said, I give up my spirit, right? He sends the spirit back. The spirit had gone up. I believe that the reason we do greater works is because actually now we have a better Holy Spirit. We have not only the spirit of the Father, we have the spirit of the Father and the risen Christ. So I believe the Holy Spirit is the name above every other name, is the spirit of Jesus Christ. That contains everything the Father has ever contained, because he said, Son, I give you everything that is mine. And Jesus even says in John, Father, give him everything that's mine. He basically says in John 17, make him just like me. If you read John 17, it is the Lord's prayer for you. It is the Lord's commissioning for you. It is the Lord's dunamis power, gift, blessing, promise for you. There is nothing with these keys that you can't tear down or build, whether it's in your own life, in your church, or in your city. No stronghold can withstand it. No blessing cannot answer the call. It's impossible, right? God's word never returns void. And the Spirit can have you speak God's word over your life. You know, that we went through this whole period of these name it and claim it preachers, prosperity. They got a bad name. But I'm going to tell you, their keys, they were using these keys. It might have been with some self-glory mixed in, or a little too much about money mixed in. But guys, the keys are true. The keys are just as true as when Isaiah wrote it in 22:22. These are the keys to the kingdom. Think about it. They're also the keys that he retook when he descended, before he ascended, and then sent back to you and I. So I want you to just take the pressure off. There's nothing you need to do or need to have. You need to believe that you're carrying this keychain. And you need to believe that wherever you walk or step, it says in the Word that that territory I'll give you. And you need to believe that you can hear the Holy Spirit. You can follow an unction. When you make the main thing, and I believe this year for all of us in growth, and I'm not putting it above Jesus' name, but the Holy Spirit's the main thing. The Spirit of holiness. Right at the end of my experience with Him, He never called Himself the Holy Spirit. He called Himself the promise and the blessing. And right at the last few words, He called Himself the Spirit of holiness. He said, don't ever mix up the two. Holiness, righteousness. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and I'll add unto you everything that you need. That's what the keys do. Whether you need to tear something down, build something up, you're facing a mountain, you're facing a health issue, you want a new job, it is unlimited. For God says, I want to give you the desires of your heart. Well, the Holy Spirit gives you the same desires that God has for you. And God wants all those things for you. God wants you to have joy and pleasure. I mean, the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. Learn to put yourself first, because that's who God's looking at. You're the apple of God's eye. Don't put your church first, your assignment first, your city first. Put yourself first, because He put Himself first for you. He is the first fruit. You've got to join in the fact of who you are to receive this baptism of fire. It can only come into a vessel of truth, one that understands the true relationship. And then from there, it will build and build and build and build. I have so many testimonies over the past 60 days that are just incredible. But whatever you are suffering from, or whatever is an opposing mountain in your life, or whatever you are just so zealously burning for to do, it doesn't matter. It's all done out of the fact that God has put you first, and you've got to see yourself first. You've got to become that flame. You've got to become that person that can wield that sword. You've got to become that person that holds that shield of faith, that breastplate of righteousness. You have to become that. And the only way to become that is believe it to the bottom of your feet. And that's what speaking the word over yourself does. That's what casting a vision that says, Lord, I am a child of the Most High God. I am imbued with the dunamis power and the Holy Spirit of God. Wherever my feet will tread, I can take this dominion. I have dominion. I have dominion over the enemy. I have dominion over my health problems. I have dominion over any lack that I have in my life. So James says, the only reason you don't have is you don't ask, right? But you don't just simply say, God, give me money. That's not agreeing with the principles of what God has laid out to do. You have to think about how would the relationship with one another be to just ask for an end means. You need to ask for the transition of heart to the belief to where lack is not attracted to you, but prosperity is. So my word to you today is believe. Not just believe in God, we all do that, but I mean believe those scriptures. Believe those keys. Use those keys to open doors. Use those keys to tear down strongholds. But most of all, use the keys. Use the spoken word to create a place for the Spirit. It says we all want to create a place for the Spirit to dwell. This is the way He said it to me. He goes, I am the dwelling. I am the abiding. I am the abode. So when you think about this situation, you know, Lord, Lord, create a... I love where David repents. And this is the one that I use the most, is Psalm 51. He says, oh, Lord, form in me a clean heart. Form me a clean heart. And then he goes in desperation. You can just see him on his knees. God, and do not let your Spirit leave from me. David knew. This is the basic covenant of the New Testament. David knew that he was a son of God and that he was a king. We're all priest and king in this room. We all have this thought. We need to have that belief. And we need to have that belief enough to where we know when we repent, when we turn ourselves and wherever we're looking at and turn ourselves back to the Lord, that He's smiling. It's not a fact of re-earning. It's a place of relational power. So today, relationally with the Holy Spirit, become a friend, a true friend. with him. Be his best friend. Speak this to him. Holy Spirit, I want to be your best friend. I want you to form in me a relationship to where my belief system is so strong that everything that I read in this word, I can speak out of my mouth and my heart will expect it to be done, because that is what was given to me. That is my true inheritance. The last thing I want to speak on is grieving the Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, well, Mark, you put me in the back seat. You were doing great, on fire. And he said, the world kept coming in, and pretty soon I'm in the back seat. And so you start going, and so when I can't be reproducing with you, I'm going to be reproving. And I had to look the word up because I wasn't sure what reproving meant. Well, it's not a place you want to be, but it may be a place you need to be, because God does everything with love. But basically, when you start moving that direction, the relationship, and this is what I think is just the cornerstone, is whenever I might start to slip, he immediately goes into attack mode on whatever I'm slipping with and brings me back in. Whatever I am contending with, whatever I am unrepentant of, where I have not changed my gaze, where my gaze is still on gosh, I my job, I'm not paying my power bills, you know, but on Sunday, I'm gazing at everything beautiful for the Lord. But yet this part over here is keeping me from the fullness. And so we've all seen physical healings. We can believe in a lot of things because faith has become substance to us in so many ways that have been tracking with the Lord. But you know, there's some things in your life that when you really think about it, whether you have little lack of trust for, or some doubt or a little bit of fear, and boy, doesn't it always come in health and money? It always comes in health and finances. It always comes when you're sitting in the doctor. Because I know, I do not like to go to the doctor because I don't want to hear what he's going to say. Number one, because I don't want to have a bad reaction. I don't want to have an agreement with it. And number two, I know that I'm going to spend days fighting that and to get back into this place of belief. Oh, God orders my days. That is not a death sentence. That is not a... The Holy Spirit can get you to a place and the day that I got, just had that miraculous experience with him, he told me the next day, he says, try to have a bad thought. And I mean, I tried to think about my finances. I tried to think, I literally could not. I literally could not think. And so it's not one of these keys, three keys, but let me tell you, if there's a fourth key, it's 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, is take thoughts captive to logical reasoning and vain imaginations. Because that's how the devil talks to you. So if there's something you want to, it's just a key that locks up mess, lock up all those. Because 90% of the stuff runs through your mind, never going to happen. But boy, you'll create life with that, make an agreement before you can turn around. But I believe that we are offered a place this year where those things can't touch us, where the darts cannot get through. God is our rear guard. But we have to learn to use the principles of life. Just like if I drop this mic, it's going to hit the floor because of the law of gravity. Folks, these keys are the laws of the kingdom. And if you use them, everything will obey, because it says every knee and every tongue will bow and confess the name of Jesus. And that's all the Holy Spirit's about. Returning everything that Christ bought, getting us all in position to have that relationship, that reconciliation, everything that he died for. When you really think about it and boil it down, he died for that relationship. That relationship is what will just go out and you know, and turn green what the locusts have eaten. It'll just go out and just blow strongholds out. It'll cure poverty. I mean, that relationship with the Lord, that intimate place that Jesus sat in with the power of the Spirit, just blows everything of the enemy off the face of the earth. Wherever that is, the enemy must flee. That's what the word says. So I just want to pray and impart this to you. Would you all stand? I think standing just shows a little bit of you know, just kind of hold your hands out like you're going to receive. Father, today you said you're no respecter of man. So Lord, in the name and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and in the love of the Father has for us, Lord. I ask you now, give them a fresh infilling of fire, Father. I ask Holy Spirit to fall in the way that they need to be shown, to fall in that unique and personal way that becomes their operating system, Lord. Turn everything around 180 degrees, shake everything loose that needs to be shook loose, Lord, and become the rock in their life. Become the feeling and the unction that they cannot live without, the burning passion through the Holy Spirit to live in the reconciliation that God had. Lord, I ask you to bring a fresh fire, a fresh anointing, Father. We ask for the baptism of fire, Father, and we are asking today on Pentecost, Lord. We are here. We are matched up in a Kairos time. We are not in a human time. This is not a fleshly ask. Lord, this is your time, invading time. We stand here timeless. Today, Lord, as Peter and the boys sat in the upper room, Lord, let it fall on us. Let the wind blow through here. Let the tongues of fire fall, Father. Control our tongues, control our hearts. Bring us into that deep and meaningful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. As I prophesy this over this congregation, Lord, light them on fire. Let them become the burning bush, Father. Let them know that the main thing is that you love them, and to learn to live in that love, and the world will be healed due to that, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you, Mark. Two Sundays ago, we had church at the table, and one of the things that we had kind of were hitting on was just the need for the Holy Spirit, you know, because Jesus said to go into Jerusalem and tarry until you receive the gift of the Father, the promise of the Father, and when he comes, you will be clothed with power from on high. And we talked about how it's like putting on a jacket. You're being wrapped in the Holy Spirit and fire. And the reason why we had to wait was because there was something coming that we needed before we could go out and be witnesses. But once the Holy Spirit come, he came that we might be witnesses. And so what I hear Mark saying is that God's calling us to get to know the Holy Spirit in a very fresh and new way. I want to talk about him. I said this two Sundays ago. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's real. He's a person. And the more you talk about something, it just seems like I've just kind of noticed this. You ever notice, like, if you go to buy, let's say you're going to go buy a Jeep, and all of a sudden all you see is Jeeps everywhere, you know? It's like you start talking about certain aspects of God, next thing you know, they just start happening. That's why I like to talk about angels, because angels, we need angels to help us, you know? But let's talk about the Holy Spirit. He's the one that Jesus said, it's better that I go away so that the Holy Spirit will come. And when he comes, he's going to empower us to live like we couldn't live and to do what we cannot do. And so I just want to encourage us is to receive that word, that encouragement to surrender, to begin to cultivate this relationship with the Holy Spirit. He is so good. He'll tell you, he will just, when you become intimate with the Holy Spirit and learn how to recognize him speaking to you, it changes your whole life in every way to the point of, hey, I want you to go to this store right now. And you go to the store and you run into somebody that you have been on your heart, but you hadn't seen them in forever. You know what I mean? It's just little stuff. I mean, it can be anything, you know, but the Holy Spirit, when he's active, he's directing our life, and it's a game changer. And so, Father, I just continue to pray, just like Mark prayed, Lord, that you would come and you would help us to begin to abide in the Holy Spirit, that we would get to know your voice, that we would get to know the way you speak, we would get to know you in our life, and that we would not be content with less, Lord, than Jesus had died for. And, Lord, we want the fullness of the Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name.